Good morning, and before we read our scripture for today, it will be in the book of Deuteronomy again, but we'll wait to give you the exact place because we kind of want to set it up. Sometimes, you know, we read in the scripture and we can kind of get bogged down in this or presume where we're going to be headed with something, but I wanted to kind of lay some groundwork, and I want to think about a child going to what used to be called a five and dime. Some of you might know what a five and dime is. It's just a little store. And now that you'd go to a dollar store or something like that. A dime doesn't go as far as it might have used to. And in those days, the little toys and things weren't little in little bags. They were just out. And you could pick them out of a box. It might depend on what the five and dime was that you went to. But I remember as a child, I went, and it had various knickknacks, and I don't know if it was, it might have been Mother's Day, and I wanted to buy something for my mom. And so I went in, and I picked out some kind of ring. I'm sure it was a cheap plastic ring, because I'm sure it cost less than a dollar. And I'm pretty sure it had a large plastic gem on it of some sort. I think I remember that part. Of course, mom, you know, I don't remember her response, but both mothers going to respond, well, they're very grateful and thankful for that. And it's the concern that she had, that I had for her. It was special. So sure, mom's going to enjoy it, but I don't remember her wearing it in public. I might have tried to get her to, so I'm not sure about that, but I'm sure she appreciated it. But it was from my place of understanding. Now think of another scenario. I want you to think about that time when it's the husband buys his wife a sweeper for her birthday, or maybe for their anniversary or something. You know, he thought it was really cool. It's a tool, and it may not have gone well over with her. She probably was expecting him to understand her better. She might have liked a nicer sweeper, but it, not on her birthday or their anniversary or something like that. You know, and you could think of it from the other side. You know, if a wife, now some of you might know not to do exactly what I'm about to tell you, but imagine that wife picks out something for her husband that she would like or she thinks is pretty or something. You know, maybe some camo for him to wear that is a color other than green or brown. You know, they make pink camo and purple camo probably. They just make different of it. And she might go, oh, that's kind of neat. And I wouldn't wear it. I'm just telling you, it probably wouldn't work real well for me. But, you know, it's from that perspective. I think the tool would be nice. I think my wife likes when we get her nice appliances. I know my wife has bought me some nice tools. But I do try to give flowers or candy or other things too, but you know, it's where that relationship is. And as that relationship deepens, their awareness of what the other person needs should be aware, or what they might like should develop as well. So now let's, with that context, we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, there's a lot that has to do around worship activities. It talks about you know, offerings and sacrifices and things like that, and I want you to think about those in context of what we have talked about as some gifts or some givings and some understandings. So you know, what would God like as a gift for him? You know, we think about what we think God would like, and we go down that path, but has our relationship with God matured past that of a child? And God being like a mother, understanding the intent, but at some point there should be a deepening relationship so that there is an understanding of what value and what shows that you understand them. That deepening understanding of what pleases God. So we're going to read in the New King James Version from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God, the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your hearts, the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and it gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and your female servants, and the Levite which is within your gates. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place where the Lord chooses one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, we're going to stop there with 14. All those descriptive things, we're not going to go into all those details. But he was talking about worship and things, activities of worship, and things that you were to do. And the question is, as we look at verse 8, it says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. When the child buys the little ring or buys the whatever, he's doing what is right in his own eyes. When the husband buys the tool for his wife, he's doing what is right in his own eyes. When she buys a gift for her husband and it is cute and pink and whatever it is, she's doing what is right in her own eyes. But when we mature in our relationships, we begin to understand what is it that they value, what is it that they're looking for. And in God, we want that relationship that's tight. Now, He is God. But we should be considering what He desires. Now, this right in your own eyes type phrases, this is not the only place you'll find it in Scripture, but in this passage, it's talking about worship. So in this context, it's don't just do what's right in your own eyes. The question is your worship to God right in your own eyes like the child, or is it deeper? And are there limits of what we can and do call worship to God? Is it really worshipful to God? Does God call it worship? Do we consider God's desires? How we present ourselves for worship? Where we worship? How we worship? Some might say that you should be as enthusiastic about your worship to God as you are to your favorite sports team. But does that mean that in the way we worship, that we should be conducting ourselves in the same way we would be at a football game that we are watching, or something on TV? Should we behave in the same manner? Maybe we should be as enthusiastic, and we should be as passionate, and should be as engaged, and it should be natural. But when we do those kinds of activities, we're doing what seems right in our own eyes. We wear our jersey, or we wave our banner, or we do what's what. We don't consult with the team. Can we help you on the field? Sometimes even cheerleaders don't consult with the team on how we can help them. They do what's right in their own eyes. And the bands might do what's right in their eyes. They're enjoying themselves. They're having a great time. But they can play. I've been on the football field, and I had to yell as the band was playing so everybody else in the huddle could hear the play that I was calling. They were doing what was right in their eyes, but they were in my way in getting done what I was trying to get done. Was their intent in the right place? Maybe. They were excited. They had passion. But when we go to worship the Lord, what is it that is right in His eyes? What is it that He desires? What is it that displays our depth of understanding, our depth of relationship with Him? Is it like the tool the husband buying for his wife, or is it cool in our eyes, or is it cool in God's eyes? Now, some might say God is okay with anything. But do you want to present God with worship that is just okay to get by, or something a little deeper? Verse 8 again, right in your own eyes. Should it look like that football game? Should it look like you're going to a concert? I have heard phrases, and I've mentioned this maybe to you before, whether in a message or in passing. You know, I hear phrases like, boy, they really, you know, they listen to a vocal performance at some vocal TV show or something. Boy, they really sang great. They just took us to church. Okay, they took us to church. They're singing a secular song that has nothing to do with God. And just the way they sang it said they took us to church. Is that what church is? Is a certain style of music? Be honest, what is worship? What should worship be? Romans 12, 1:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the... I got my verses mixed up now. I combined verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. And so let me go ahead and flip to it. I normally have that memorized fairly well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It is your reasonable service. And other translations will see your reasonable act of worship. Because in the New Testament, the word that they use for worship, translated to worship, is sometimes translated to service. Unfortunately, we seem to have the concept that worship is only music and only singing. I don't like the phrase worship leader, because worship isn't the only form. Music is the only form of worship. If we look through this Old Testament, their tithes, their offerings, their burnt, that was worship activities. And sometimes we say, well, what time's the worship service? It's kind of redundant, because worship is doing service to God. Its act of service is worship. And so we worship God, and we need to Maybe say, well, it can be this or that. But what is it that God wants you to do in response to Him? But sometimes it's like, okay, let's go to church. Okay, they have the announcements, they have prayer. Okay, let's worship together. Well, the prayer started worship. And when's the end of the worship? When the music stops? Listening to the message, letting the Holy Spirit, submitting ourselves to God, opening our hearts, giving our tithes and offerings. Those are all acts of worship. And so we got this misnomer that it's all about the music, but in the music and the times that we worship or the other things that we do, do we do that because it's right in our own eyes? How do we present ourselves before God? How do we dress? How do we present? How do we interact with people? It should be deeper than just enthusiasm. It should be understanding and a communion with God and the Holy Spirit. It should feel different than going to a concert. You know, whether it's, I've told you before, I've been at a place where blues was being played and some guy got up and he got excited about the music, stood up, put his hands in the air and shouted. Well, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And so we have to be careful that we're not conjuring things up like the false prophets that were on that mountain with Elijah. And Elijah prayed and fire came. But they were cutting themselves and doing everything else to try to stir up an emotion. It's not about the emotion. And it's not about the music. It's about giving ourselves to God and worshiping in a way that is meaningful to Him. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. So we have to think about that. Not that singing's not a good thing. Not that it doesn't raise our emotions and that it opens our hearts to think about things spiritual and it kind of guides us. But sometimes, even when we go into the repeating of the same phrases over and over and over and over again, it becomes a chant. We almost act like Pavlov's dog because a certain song's coming. We incite a certain response. Just because we hear the strum of a chord, immediately we're filled with this emotion. But are we filled with the emotion of the sense, or we're filled and sensing the Holy Spirit speaking to us? So I'm not going to tell you all the various ways that you should be thinking about worship from a prescriptive way, specifics. But the question is when you worship, consider what worship is, that it's broader than music. And consider how you do it and where you do it and how you approach it. Are you open to God telling you? Or just what everybody else looks like, and it's what's cool. But what's cool to God? What's meaningful to God? Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, we are told in Scripture, that is a reasonable, it's a rational act of service. It's an act of worship. And then in that surrender to God, and in that obedience, that's what He's looking for. We see that in Scripture. He's looking for that heart that is in an attitude of surrender to Him, and that is obedient. And we're to love the Lord our God with all. So consider that as you consider worship, as you consider going to different services, and you consider the impact that services have on you and your time in church have on you. But also consider, what is it that God wants from us when we're gathered together and we're in times of worship, as it were. But think about it in our prayer time and in our obedience and our ministry and services to other people. So God, help us to have such a relationship with God that it's deeper and considers, how is God asking me to respond to His love? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that our eyes might be open today to see what you want us to do, to hear from you when it comes to this idea of worship, of presenting ourselves to you, of taking time out for you, for communion time, in conversing with you through prayer, through being obedient to you as we minister to other people. May it start with that reasonable, rational act of service, that act of worship, where we surrender ourselves to you, that we love you with all, our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that is where our worship begins. It's not in some emotional upheaval. It's not in something that can mimic a concert, even non-Christian, or something that can mimic enthusiasm in a football game, but something that is genuine about our relationship with you. It's not so much about being cool in our eyes, but it's cool in your eyes, meaningful to you. Help us to have the right attitude around this concept of worship and seek to understand what you desire from us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.